Welcome back to the clubhouse. Here in the McAdoo studios, Kyle Bailey now joined by Will Stewart, Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com. The band is finally back together. Gentlemen, Will Stewart is
finally,
with us.
Finally, after many years, the reunion.
we're all back together in the same room. Follow these guys on Twitter, at Chris Coleman TSL, at Will Stewart TSL, and of course you can follow TechSideline at TechSideline. Will?
Yes.
Just hacking away in the business world, right? You've been busy.
Yeah.
That's how it goes.
I'm particularly worn out today, but I'll try to be sharp.
Okay. Well, we appreciate the effort. Let's dive in to something that I've been talking about for 2 weeks, and we had an entire sports business segment devoted to it the other day. But I do want your take on it, considering you guys cover Virginia Tech. And that's just the new NCAA regulations, cost of attendance stipends, which on the surface sounds really, really boring. You know, and if all you're talking about is numbers and facts and figures, it is boring. But what it actually amounts to is the new arms race in college athletics.
Yeah, tie it into recruiting, and then it suddenly gets interesting.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, that when you're talking about this time next year, on National Signing Day, watching to see how many big-time recruits, those hats they put on the table, how many correlate to the biggest COA stipends, in the country. And 4-year scholarships as opposed to, 1-year renewable scholarships and things like that. But specifically cost of attendance. There's no logical sense to the numbers that we're hearing about right now. We don't have final numbers. No one has final numbers. There are a lot of estimates out there, but those don't make sense. Auburn offering $6,000 a stipend, as if somehow there's a cost of living increase or, the walking around money that is $3,500 more necessary in Auburn, Alabama than it is Blacksburg.
Have you driven through Auburn?
Yeah.
I have to.
Yeah.
There's nothing there.
No, and I don't dislike the place. Right. It's $6,000.
Yeah.
And then you have a school like Georgia Tech in the heart of Atlanta, $1,600. And so what this amounts to is, again, you have a lot of schools that it just feels like there's some arbitrary numbers being put down on paper, and it just feels like a spending war.
I've been looking at this college financial stuff for years and years, since the late 90s.
Yeah.
And there are reports, and this is a slightly different topic, but it ties in.
Mm-hmm.
There are reports that every university has to submit for their athletics finances.
Yeah.
But so they have to fill in all these slots with numbers, and exactly what you put in those slots is vague. To give you an example, I remember looking at a Syracuse report many years ago, that said their women's basketball program made $5 million in revenue. No, they didn't.
Right.
Syracuse is a university that has to transfer funds from the university as a whole into athletics at that point in time to balance the books. So the university put millions of dollars into the athletics department, and the athletics department reported it as women's basketball revenue.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of fudging of numbers like that occurs, a lot of vague stuff.
Right.
Now you apply that to the cost of attendance stipend.
Yeah.
Schools are gonna fudge that number to make it look like they're handing the most money out. And to give you an example, let's say a university makes their students buy a computer as part of, being a student there. That actually started when I was a freshman in engineering at Tech in the 80s. We didn't have to buy a PC. The next class that came in behind us did.
Yeah.
So one athletic department might pay out, for purposes of a discussion, $2,500 a year.
Mm-hmm.
But they provide the computer for you. Another athletic department might pay you $3,500 a year, but make you buy the computer. It's all the same in the end, assuming the computer costs about $1,000. It's all the same in the end, but the recruit sees the $3,500 figure instead of the $2,500 figure, and
Well, that's the other thing too, though. I mean, and we're getting down into minutia here. I realize that, but you're not. It's a good point because you start talking about computers. Well, it's easy for an athletics department with no oversight of this money to say, well, we would really like for our kids to buy a top-of-the-line Apple MacBook. Those run about $2,500. They can buy what they want, but we'd like for them to have the money to buy that should they so choose to do so. So just little things like that start to add up. And again, I know this sort of sounds boring on the surface, but Will nailed it. When you start tying it back to recruiting, then it gets a whole lot more interesting, because what it feels like is all the arguments against, paying players and opening up the free market to stars, and not clamping down on their ability to go fetch their free market value. And the argument's always, well, the big money schools, the mega budget schools are just going to outspend everyone. Well, here we are, and it sure looks like they're just about to outspend everyone again. And it's just a different way of doing it.
It's going to change things, but in the end, it's all going to be the same, I think. I don't think it's going to impact recruiting.
Yeah.
But you're going to still see the same schools ranked at the top of the recruiting. Mm-hmm. Virginia Tech's still going to be between 20 and 25 every year. I don't think it's going to change all that much. What had concerned me at the beginning was, is Virginia Tech's going to be much different than UVA's? Or how, and some of this stuff is in-state, out-of-state.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still not clear to me exactly how much North Carolina will pay out-of-state students from the state of Virginia.
Right.
What if those jerks cook up some $5,000 number for travel or something like that?
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing is that the state mandated travel expenses vary from state to state, mm-hmm. and so you know, who knows?
Like, when it's actually faster to get to Chapel Hill from the 757 than it is Blacksburg, mm-hmm. Than it is to get to Blacksburg.
Yep.
But you've got laws in each state. I mean, it's just a totally. It's a regulated process, but it's not.
Oh, it's hardly regulated.
It's loosely, very, very loosely.
When you have money being paid out to cover the cost of attendance of a college education, but and we're talking about federal dollars here, but the U.S. Department of Education wants nothing to do with the oversight process.
Right.
That's a problem.
It's a mess.
That's a problem. You know, they're not going to be looking at this whatsoever. I said this a couple of times. You ask compliance, the way it's put is financial professionals, and I'm using air quotes here, internally and externally. And I don't mean to suggest those folks aren't professionals, but who knows from where and how many they're picking and how often they're even going to look.
Schools are going to be a little more noble than others.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's just generally how that works. Yep. You know, it does worry people, and it should.
And you know, it's true that schools like Alabama and places like that and some of the big money Big Ten schools, they already have tremendous advantages mm-hmm. over a place like Virginia Tech.
Right.
And this is just another piece of that puzzle, I guess. You know, it's just another advantage. You know, and they already have a lot of advantage. Their facilities are much larger and more impressive. Tech's got nice facilities, but
right.
you know, when you hear people spending 30 and 40 million bucks on whatever, and Tech's spending 20 million, you know, they got something nicer. So yeah, it's all just part of the larger tapestry.
Yeah, and make no mistake about it. I mean, the indoor practice facility that's scheduled to be completed this summer is going to be among the nicest in the country. But, you know, you start hearing numbers, you know, out of Clemson. What is it, $65 million,
I believe? Is that what they're talking about?
For a complete – I mean, I think it's not just one project or one building.
Okay.
But, I mean, you're just talking about spending that kind of money on athletics facilities. Certainly the indoor facility is part of that.
Mm-hmm.
It just brings up the question. We talked about it on Wednesday. When does the bubble burst? I mean, at some point it really has to. And it's going to take a wise athletic director somewhere to rein back the spending and to see that coming and to say, look, at some point we're hitting diminishing returns. We're spending money we can't recoup. There's not enough revenue streams to bring this back. It's going to take a wise AD or a group of them somewhere to say, yeah, we're just going to pull back and slow down a little bit because they're just going to keep spending themselves into debt and to ruin. You know, and you can't keep expanding stadiums. You know, ticket sales aren't going well. The 90,000 seat stadiums are just not sustainable anymore. That's why you see, you know, schools that are taking seats out of their stadiums. Matter of fact, I think Baylor did that, right?
I think Baylor did that. I know Stanford did that a few years back.
Stanford did, yeah.
Stanford had a stadium that sat, 80 or 90,000 people, and they lumbered it to around 60,000.
Yeah.
They still can't fill it up, even though they're good. It's just interesting days in college football. When I look over at Tech's facilities, I think they're – and you compare what that area looked like to what it looked like 20 years ago in 1995. There was no Merriman Center. You know, this Lane Stadium looked – well, let's face it, you know, I love the Home of the Fighting Gobblers on that side of the stadium, but that press box, that whole area just looked small time. The end zones were not enclosed at all. I say small time. It wasn't a small time athletic department because it was still, you know, Division I athletics, but it was Big East, which was the smallest conference at the time. And it's just the way things have changed over the last 20 years have been pretty impressive as Tech has gone from, you know, the Big East to the ACC, gotten more money, built so many facilities. They don't have any more room to build any more facilities.
No. Not
they'd have to cut down trees.
That's not
going to happen.
Not if the stadium woods are to stay intact.
Yeah,
no,
right.
That's not the case at all. No, you're right, but it is remarkable because I actually found some old footage, and I don't want to get too off track here, but I found some old footage. I was giving a lecture to a class of juniors and seniors maybe a couple months ago at this point, and it was about the history of the American South and tying it back to Virginia Tech and Blacksburg, and I found some footage of the Heidi Tidies on the field in Lane Stadium in 1971, and it's before the game. They're actually playing Dixie, which was banned officially from campus in, I think, 1973. But to see the stadium then, you know, and then just to go 40 years later to what it is now, I mean, you think about the kind of crowds that even in 73 Alabama was pulling, certainly Michigan and Ohio State and USC. You know, and to have come that far in 40 years, having seen that stadium, what it looked like, you have to kind of tip your cap to the Dave Brains and the Jim Weavers and those guys for building what they've built. It's impressive.
Somewhere on Tech sideline, we have a small archive of historical photos of Lane Stadium,
mm-hmm.
including a couple of photos that a guy sent me that he had taken himself and that I scanned him in of when Lane Stadium was under construction.
Mm-hmm.
Just really, really interesting stuff to look at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, there's no doubt. I mean, it's that. And speaking of Merriman Center, you know, there's talk that there's massive upgrade coming.
Yeah.
I know you've heard the same conversations. Yep. I don't know what that entails personally. I mean, I've heard things, but you know, short of, like you said, they're out of room. Short of knocking it down and rebuilding it where it stands, I mean, I don't know what's coming.
I don't know how different the outside will look. I think probably the indoors part is going to get a major upgrade, mm-hmm. because nothing in that building has changed as far as, you know, the paint jobs, the aesthetics, since it was built in 1998. And I was walking through there towards some football interviews this past football season. I'm walking down the hall and I'm thinking, you know, they could probably update this building. It's probably due for an update.
Mm-hmm.
And here we go. I just think they're going to make it look more modern.
That place is like an elaborate maze.
It really is.
I get lost at least once every time I go in there.
It's the Jamerson Center that gets me lost up and down all those stairs and everything. Mm-hmm. That's where I get lost. It's just I think it's for looks. I don't think it's going to be a lot of substance per se to it. It's not like it's going to be like a brand new weight room or a bunch of new facilities and things like that. But I think they're going to give it a more modern, up to date look.
Well, Merriman needs a better entrance, because you open the glass doors and walk in, and there's a wall right in front of you,
mm-hmm.
and a Herma's Reader's donation bin.
Yep.
you can go left through a door or right through a door, but it's not a real impressive entrance.
I don't think I've ever been right. Have you been right?
Is there a right?
I don't know.
There may not be a right.
I don't think there is.
So anyway, if you think about the way Merriman's laid out, they've got plenty of room to build a larger entrance on what is essentially just a giant sidewalk right now. So that's probably part of a front facade is probably going to be part of the deal.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense. Let's take a break. We'll come back. There's still more to get to. Virginia Tech is on the road tomorrow at Clemson. 12 noon kick over on 105.3 The Beard. I didn't say kick. I meant tip. That's tomorrow at 12 noon. We'll talk a little about that and look ahead for the basketball team. Still more football talk to get to as well on the heels of signing day and spring football coming up soon. Some interesting position watches, some battles there, and we'll get these guys' thoughts on the line. Ohio State, Virginia Tech opened yesterday. We'll talk about that. Y'all keep it locked to Super Sports 101.7.